Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Robin is an intuitive, spiritual consultant, and past life regression specialist based in Seattle, Washington. As The Practical Intuitive, she explores life on our conscious, evolving planet, our mother. It's all here, from how the world really works to intuition, the human-animal bond, mediumship, clearing space with space cooperating, and spirituality. It's Robin Fritz, The Practical Intuitive, helping you master body, mind, and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and it's a beautiful, sunny July day here in Seattle, Washington. And we say beautiful because 100 degrees is not what we like here, and we're back to normal summer weather. So, excuse me if I cough during the show today. I swear I am not allergic to lavender. I put up 20 bunches of lavender on the weekend, brand new, fresh. And I sneezed through the whole thing, and I'm still sneezing, but I am not allergic to lavender. So today we're talking about intuition, how intuition really works. I'm going to share some stories that are going to make you laugh, roll your eyes, and go, oh, I get it. That's how intuition really works. Yeah, because it's always about being practical. So we are going to talk about how intuition works, what it is, how we can get it to work for us, right? What's the difference between that and everything else going on in our lives? And a whole bunch of other things. So hang tough. We're going to talk about intuition, how it really works in the real world. But first, let's get started with a quick just guided relaxation here. I work with a Crystal Fallon. It's his name. I don't name anybody in my family. It's a disaster if I try. Fallon is a citrine Lemurian quartz, very rare quartz. And of course, even more rare because he's an ancient power crystal. Yep, I know what that sounds like. But he is. And you can see pictures of him at my website, robinfritz.com. That's RobynFritz.com. But training you with your intuition today, tap into Fallon's energy the way your intuition works most strongly. So you may see pictures, you may see him looking at you, hear him tell you a joke, feel his energy, or simply know that you're connected to him and his energy here during the show today. So if you take a deep breath, settle back in your seat. I hope, please don't do this while you're driving. But other than that, sit back in your seat, relax, take a deep breath, feel all healthy, positive energy come into your gut. And then as you exhale, just feel yourself settling in your chair. You take your attention to the top of your head, just breathe down your body, head to toe. And as you do that, just release the cares of the day and give yourself this time to be with yourself, with your intuition, and sharing with all those who are also listening, either live or in the archives. So breathing down from the top of your head, down your face, your shoulders, chest, hips, knees, and feet, the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And then as you reverse that, imagine an energy line running up from your feet, past your knees, hips, chest, shoulders, face, and the top of your head. And so know that you'll be tapped into intuition during the course of the show. So I restarted my show in January of this year, took a year and a half off. And really I came back because so many people talk to me about their intuition and they think, oh, I wish my intuition was like yours or like somebody else's or even that I had intuition. And, you know, people, really, we're all intuitive. We're all healers. We just need to tap those skill sets. And they are skill sets. They're not gifts, right? So it's all a matter of us relearning something that our ancestors took for granted. And right now, we really need to tap those skills because we have two problems going on. One is that we have a rapidly changing world, as you know, with the pandemic, but also just rising consciousness. People don't know what to hold on to. People don't know what to believe in the world, including whether they should believe in themselves, let alone their government or their friends and family. So intuition is one of those ways that we are doing that. And the other is my agreement with the planet, our mother, to work with her to help people rise up and tap that level of consciousness that we need to, you know, to realize that we're not alone in the world or in the universe. So hang on to that. And as we proceed on my show, we air the first and third Mondays of the month, we'll learn together. And you're welcome to send comments and questions or things that you'd like me to talk about to me at my website, robynfritz.com. That's Robin, RobynFritz.com. Robin@robynfritz.com. So today we want to talk about intuition. So we're all intuitive. The question is, what is intuition, right? So I teach intuition as two complementary things. One, it's a very, very practical skill set. Hello, the practical intuitive, right? Is I'm out there teaching that intuition is part of us. We're using it even though we may not realize that we are. So the best thing to do is to learn how to use it to your advantage, right? To get along in the world, to get ahead in the world, to be safe and comfortable, to really have all of those senses tuned in. And that makes a difference. So it's a very practical skill set. It's a way of getting information on a properly formed question. Right. And that just takes practice because we have been taught that it isn't real and doesn't exist and whatever. So it takes practice to carefully form a question and then get intuitive information on that. And we're going to go through that today using myself as an example and some stories that I'll relate to you. But intuition is also something else. And as I mentioned, working with our mother, our planet, intuition is a way of we humans learning that we are not alone in the world or in the universe, as that will soon become apparent, that intuition is our way of connecting with all life, as humans realizing that we are equals with all life and that everything around us is alive, from our computers to our desks to our cars to our homes, our businesses, to the real live world around us. Everything is alive. And most of it is either waiting for humans to connect with it or has given up on us entirely because we just aren't with it. So that's the mindset I call planetary connection. Yes, I made up the words planetary connection, but you know, the mindset was taught to me by working with non-humans over the course of many years, really since I was born and as a young child and then again as an adult. So if you look at the world as everything being alive, everything being sentient, everything, then we learn to work in the world and live in the world as equals with all life. And I promise you, that makes it easier for you. It makes it better. You realize we're not alone. And you really become more confident in who you are and how you work in the world, how you live in the world. So your home and your work life becomes easier and better. And that's all helping you get ahead, right? So here's a couple things we're going to talk about intuition, and I'm going to tell some stories. And we'll just go as long as we've got today. If we run short, well, we run short. So here's the first thing I want you to know about intuition. One is that it's always there. Your intuition is always at work. But other things are at work, too. And we have to learn to distinguish what's going on because our intuition is always giving us answers to questions, right? The problem is, what question are you asking? What question is there in front of you that you need an answer to? And for that, you need to be very specific when you're using your intuition because I remember talking with friends several years back on something that I had become aware of, and they're immediately, oh, no, that's not right. My intuition says that's wrong. And I'm just kind of staring at him because it was a personal thing for me. It was something that I saw in the world. And their intuition had nothing to do with it. So what they were getting for their intuition for them is different than what I was getting for me, which didn't mean I was wrong. It meant that it was different for them. So you see how that can be confusing, right? So you need to look at, unless, of course, you're somebody like me who gets paid to look at intuition for other people, you need to look at things that are coming to you and how they relate to you, because you're the one living your life, right? So when you're looking at intuition, you need to look at a real thing that's adding to all of the information that you get from your other five senses, right? Whether you're seeing, you know, hearing something, and all of that combined together. So it means we need to learn to fine-tune that information. But intuition is a skill set we're already using. So let me give you an example. Some years ago, I was working with a beautiful young family in Tacoma, Washington. And I was doing a clearing of their beautiful new home. They had literally just got the keys for it that morning, and they wanted me to do a clearing that day. They were going to start renovations. And the woman was very into it. The man was not. He was a very no-nonsense military man. But he was very respectful of his wife, and he was being very respectful of me. And I noticed he wasn't, you know, totally on board. So we just went through the whole thing, and I, you know, taught them how their intuition worked and his work towards knowing. And I'm going to talk more about what that means coming up. But knowing is a really hard one, because clairknowing means you know things that you don't have any real empirical evidence for right in front of you. So you literally have to trust that knowing. It's a very important skill set. Clairknowing. They all are, but clairknowing is hard because you have to learn to trust. Anyway, at the end of the clearing, I looked at him and I smiled and I said, so you were skeptical when we first started this clearing, weren't you? And he said, yes. And I smiled and I said, but you're no longer a skeptic, are you? And he shook his head and he said, no. And he smiled at me, because we had gone through the house and I had pointed out things, you know, and I'd never been there, you know, so I pointed out things that they had become aware of, and I, you know, pointed out how their intuition worked and examples of that, and he became a believer, right? So it's really cool. But even neater than that is a story that I heard later, and she called me up to share. So they were driving somewhere, and she had fallen asleep in the front seat. He was driving, and all of a sudden he slammed on the brakes. And as he After he slammed on the brakes, a car cut in to them from the right. Right, so I mean, it's just out of the blue that this car cut in from it. But he slammed on the brakes right before he saw the car. Right, so he literally reacted without the facts. He just knew, and he said to his wife later, he said, "I don't know how I knew how to stop." And she said, don't you remember what Robin told you? That your intuition runs toward knowing. And I still smile when I think of that. Because he didn't really need to be reminded that his intuition ran toward knowing. But he had an actual demonstration of how important that was. Because if he had not slammed on his brakes, there was a high likelihood, from what he described to me, and she described to me later, high likelihood that that car would have hit them, or that they would have hit the car, because it was where it shouldn't have been in that line of traffic. So being aware of how your intuition works matters, right? Now, would he have already have acted and slammed on his brakes before that car hit them? Well, most likely. And he wasn't really thinking about his intuition. He was like, how did I know how to stop? But because we become aware of how our intuition works, that helps us get more information, right? So I like to think that that my work helps people. And I like to think that this man, whether he actively thought of his intuition or not, that he was acting and moving in regard to how he felt was the best thing to do at that particular moment. And it saved their lives. But it helps to boost our awareness if we know how our intuition works. So we're going to go on and I'm going to detail, you know, how we can tell our intuition apart from anything else. We're almost close to having a break here, but I want to emphasize this because, you know, there are a lot of people who think that intuition is woo-woo-y and it's for the people who are unbalanced in some way and it doesn't apply to the real world. And, you know, and let me tell you, sometimes my own, like, I'm not prejudiced, right? But sometimes my own preconceptions of people get in my way. So it sometimes astonishes me when I see the people who hire me to clear their space, who want a session to fine-tune their intuition, who want to look at things like how they can, you know, improve their lives through tapping into what their souls knew in previous lifetimes. And these people have different political beliefs than me, but beliefs that, you know, I may think I would preconceive them to not believing in something like intuition. And the truth of the matter is, they believe in what works, and that's what we should all believe in, what works and how it works. And that's what we'll get into next after the break. So hang on, we'll talk about how you can tell intuition apart from everything else and a whole story about how that works. Hang on.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
This segment of The Practical Intuitive is brought to you by Andrea Bovee, licensed insurance agent at BoveeInsurance.com. Andrea specializes in affordable health insurance for Americans of all ages. Yes, affordable health insurance exists. It's called a defined benefit plan. It's a budget concept. That means you'll be able to see any doctor, access outpatient services, receive covered preventative services such as mammograms and colonoscopies, enjoy unlimited free virtual doctor visits, and be covered for urgent care, ER, and hospital visits. But there's more. During a free consultation, insurance agent Andrea Bovee can help you decide if you should add critical illness or accident coverage so all your risks are covered when something serious occurs. All this while still delivering savings. Yes, the premiums can be much lower than those in the Affordable Care Act plans. Ready to check it out? Go to BoveeInsurance.com to book a free consultation with insurance agent Andrea Bovee. Andrea is based in Arizona, but she works by phone and webinar so she can help you wherever you are in the United States. One more thing. If you're nearing your 65th birthday or you are already on Medicare, Andrea can assist you with Medicare health and drug plans. Andrea works with her clients to find the best healthcare products at the best prices. Ready to learn more? Contact Andrea Bovee at BoveeInsurance.com. That's B-O-V-E-Y Insurance.com.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and today we're talking about how intuition really works in the world. And I'm going to dive right back into this now. So how can we tell intuition apart from everything else? Well, it's a tricky one, right? You have to work at it, right? Because we haven't been working at it. For the last 300 years or so, we've been told that it's not real and we should ignore it. And it's fluffy, weird, wooey stuff, and it makes no sense in the world. And those of us who have come back into our abilities or maybe tapped them anew as adults, you know, have to get past that whole thing of feeling weird in the world. And I'm way past that. You know, I could care less what other people think about it. I want to teach people to use their intuition so that it makes sense to them and it works for them in the real world, right? Because it's practical. So take it seriously. Take it as seriously as you would any course that you take, because that's where we are right now. And I hope 100 years from now, people will look back on us and think, oh my God, they had to relearn how to use their intuition. Yes, we did. That's where we are. So get a notebook and experiment with it. But don't get messed up, because intuition is only part of what we use every day. And the way that you learn to figure that out is by keeping track of how you make decisions during the day, because we use other things. We use facts, right? We use what we know about a particular thing, what the facts say, right? And there's plenty of that out there. So you can learn about the facts of things. But there's also your own intellect, your own common sense, and your own knowledge about a particular situation. Then there's your personal experience, right? Or the experience of people you know. And then your emotions, right? And boy, how often do we get messed up with our emotions? Like, you know, do we believe this or do we not? Or do our feelings get hurt and all of that, right? And then, of course, there's your intuition. And intuition doesn't fit the so-called rational mindset. So you have to figure out how to plug that in. And right now, in the times that we live in, it's really hard, because for the last year and a half, we've been living with this pandemic. And as I keep trying to tell people, it is going to get worse before it gets better, people. So hang in there. Even if you're vaccinated, keep your distance. Wear a mask. I don't care what they say. Wear a mask if you're indoors and around people. That's my intuition telling you something. But here's something else. Let me tell you about a story about mixing up intuition and feelings. And I'm pointing to myself, right? Because nobody's perfect. So one day I was, it was a Friday afternoon. It was the end of the week and I had a very busy week. This was, 2019, maybe it was. Anyway, it was a Friday afternoon. I'd had a busy week of sessions. I was tired and I had to run up to the hardware store and run some errands. So I was driving into the hardware store and I was going to park in the place that I normally park at the hardware store. And I saw this Volvo parked behind that spot. And I thought, oh my gosh, don't park in that spot. That guy in the Volvo is going to hit you. Right? No, I even said in my head, that guy is going to hit me. That man is going to hit me. So let's evaluate that. What are the facts? I didn't have any facts, right? I was making an assumption based on a Volvo. And I was like, okay, that guy's going to hit me, right? And then I thought, oh, no, get over yourself, Robin. That is not going to happen. Just relax. So I went and parked in the spot. The Volvo was behind me. So the assumption I made, the facts, I didn't have any, as I said, I assumed that because it was a brand, it looked like a brand new Volvo, that the driver was very responsible and I was safe. Right? So intellect, right? Common sense, knowledge. Well, people who drive Volvos are really safe drivers, you would think, right? But, or maybe they buy super sturdy cars because maybe they're not good drivers. I don't know, right? But common sense would tell me that it was possible that that driver would back into me regardless of what he was driving. And that can happen anywhere. Come on, it's a parking lot. So we need to be cautious. We need to be careful. And you take your chances, right? But I figured I wasn't taking any because it was a Volvo, right? So, and there's your experience too, because people get all hit all the time in parking lots. So, and I'd hit parked in that spot many times and I was always fine. My intuition was telling me not to park there, that that guy was going to hit me, right? So I did anyway. So went in and ran some errands and came out of the hardware store, and there were people standing out there in the parking lot. And this is a really small parking lot, right? I mean, I'm looking out there and I walk out and people are standing there and I go, hey, people, are we having a party? And this man looking very upset comes to me and he goes, is this your car? And I was like, oh, no, please, no. But of course, he'd backed into me. The man in the Volvo had backed into my car, right? Oh, my God. So that's how I got my bumper fixed, right? And so what does that story tell you? As I was pulling into that parking or pulling into the parking lot in front of the hardware store, I thought, don't park in the spot I normally park in. That guy in the Volvo is going to hit me, okay? I didn't even know it was a man, but it turned out to be a man. It certainly was a Volvo. And he backed into me, and I said, you know, like, what's the deal here? And he goes, oh, my camera in my car, backup mirror camera isn't working. I said, so you backed up anyway, you didn't look? He was, like, so apologetic, and I did get my bumper fixed. But this should give you a pretty good idea of listening to your intuition, right? I didn't listen to mine, right? And I knew better, right? But what if you didn't? I mean, what if you had no intuitive heads up like I had that day? Then what, right? Well, then you look at it. Oh, how do I feel about parking in this spot? Do I feel safe or not, right? Why do I feel safe or not? Go through it. The facts, your beliefs, your emotions, your intellect, you know, your intuition, and ask your intuition. And then, you know, then you find out, right? And so that's a lesson in not listening to your intuition. But it's also, in my case, I really was not listening. But also in anything, you know, keep track of asking your intuition for information. In addition to everything you already know. See, the one thing I didn't know was that the man was driving the Volvo. I assumed it, and in fact, I was correct. But, you know, I didn't know that he wasn't going to pay attention, except my intuition told me. But your intuition isn't always going to give you information, right? It's only part of the issue. So it's part of the answer. So this should give you a pretty good idea of what intuition is not. It's not your beliefs. It's not your emotions. It's not your intellect. It's not wishful thinking, and it's certainly not fear, right? So what are your intuitive abilities? Okay, so people commonly refer to them as the four clairs. So we have them. We may have one stronger than others, and let me explain that. So clairknowing was the example there of the case with the guy backing into my bumper. I knew ahead of time he was going to bump into me, and I ignored that knowledge, right? But clairknowing is also just, you know, kind of being aware of something that's occurring or could occur when you have no actual empirical evidence of it. I mean, I didn't know there was a man in the Volvo or going to the Volvo. There was no one there at the time. I didn't know, you know, but I could see ahead a little bit. And seeing ahead is a lot of that. And I'll explain that in a story here, too. But then there's also clairseeing. So you see people who are clairseeing or clairvoyant, they can see non-physical beings, the dead, other beings like that. They can see auras. They can see maybe heightened colors. Then there's hearing, so you hear things or beings talking with you. And then there's feeling, clairfeeling or clairsentience, but some people mistake as empathy, but really clairfeeling is simply being aware of the feelings and emotions of the people around you and your own feeling and emotional response to that. So there are people that back in the days when they came for personal sessions could put their hands on my crystal Fallon and feel his energy, and they would feel their hands tingling. Even now, doing sessions remotely, they can tap into it, just like I had you tap into Fallon at the beginning of the show. So if you could feel his energy, or you felt a tingling somewhere in your hands or your feet, or a warmth, that's clear feeling. So you can also be a combination of all of those abilities. And I frequently am surprised because I use all four of these abilities and I forget that other people don't. So I meet other mediums, for example, who can only see the dead. They can't hear them talk or feel their energy or know anything about them. So they can only work on seeing. And that's when I teach my intuition classes, I teach symbols. And we'll talk about that in a second too. But so here's an example of using intuition during a mediumship session. So I work with my dad, Ray, in the afterlife. And my dad will bring the dead to talk with me and my clients. Sometimes I see the dead very clearly. You know, I can see the expressions on their face. I can see their body. I can see exactly what they look like, and I can describe them to people. And I'll see other beings with them, sometimes animals, sometimes family members, or the animals and other people who are with my dad at his way station. And, of course, I see my dad. Here, I always hear the dead talking with me, including my dad. So I will hear them talk with me and we will have a conversation. And that's the back and forth that we have with our living clients as we deal with this. Feeling. So I can feel their feelings and emotions. And I help to convey those to my clients. Oftentimes, if my clients are relaxed enough, they can tap into and feel that as well, because we open up that energetic line so that they can have that connection with their loved ones. But when I'm tapping into their feelings, their emotions, I know not just how they feel about their lost loved ones, their ones that are still alive, but I can also get a sensation in my body of how they died. So I can tell if they had a heart attack or if it's like an illness and what part of the body that affected. And that is particularly useful, for example, in animal communication sessions. Well, they say, well, you know, we're wondering if it's the end of life. And I'm going, well, there's some arthritis in the hips, and then there's this, and then there's that. So that's feeling and also being knowing, right? But I can feel it. I allow it to demonstrate in my body, so I quickly get a feel of where in the body that is affecting them. So it's a combination of things. And then there's knowing. I will know things about the dead. So when they show up, I'll describe their personality to the people that I'm working with. And because I've just met the dead, there's no way I would know about their personality and their mindset unless I knew things. Okay, so here's an expansion of clair knowing. So I hope that helps you a little bit. So that's kind of what using all four of those intuitive abilities is like in a mediumship session. But let me back up a second to give you a little bit clearer idea of that. So there are other mediums who can only see the dead, right? And so they rely on a complex, to me, complex system of symbology. So they work with their spiritual team to, here is a list of things. And when I see red roses, for example, it means love. And when I see this, it means that. And when I see that, it means that. And so the dead are cued in to show up with these physical things, or not physical, but, you know, pictures of things that that the medium can see to explain that to the living client that they're working with. And then sometimes there's this whole dictation. So people say, well, red roses mean this and white roses mean that. And black means this and a shadow means that. And, you know, I don't find that useful. And to me, that isn't engaging my client in the process. So here's an example. One time I was working with this beautiful woman who desperately missed her husband. And when he showed up, he was standing there and there were rose bushes all around him. And then he kind of backed up and I could see him standing in a yard with all of these rose bushes around him. And even a rose bush right by the door. And he was standing by the door to the house with this beautiful rose bush planted next to it. Well, his wife burst into tears. And because it turned out he was an avid gardener and he loved roses. So he had roses all over the yard. And on top of that, her son-in-law had just planted this magnificent rose bush by the front door. So for her, it was validation that her husband was there talking with us at this moment during the session. And by describing what I saw, the rose bushes and the rose bush by the door and the rose bushes in the yard, it confirmed for her that he was there acknowledging her and their relationship. Now, if I had said, oh, he's got red roses around him, would not have been as meaningful as if I had described exactly what I saw. So there are times when people show up with their arms full of flowers or something like that. And I will say, they have these flowers. What does that mean to you? Because sometimes the dead won't say anything. They'll just show that. So I hope that gives you an idea of how you can combine all of these intuitive abilities. Now, hang on. I'm going to give you a more detailed story about how to put intuition to work for you in your daily life right after the break.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Life is a flow, and enlightenment is simply harmonizing with the way life really is. Then you find that life is effortless, benevolent, and free of all suffering. Hey everyone, this is GP Walsh, and I want to invite you to my brand new radio show that's launching right here on Om Times Radio called The Flow of Enlightenment. I've been a spiritual teacher for decades, and my greatest pleasure is being able to share with you these deep and highly practical spiritual ideas. So join me in The Flow every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern and let yourself be transformed.
If I could be you,
and you could be me for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and today we're talking about how intuition really works. Now, I'm going to wind up the show here by telling you a couple of really cool, fun stories. You're going to laugh. But I also want to emphasize that today I'm talking about the practical intuition, how it works in our daily lives. In an upcoming show, I'm going to talk about intuition and planetary connection, like how we connect with the world around us, with our animals, with trees, and so on and so forth, because that's the other aspect of intuition, and I teach them as two separate things. So back to how intuition really works. Now, note again that I'm saying intuition is practical. You know, it's always practical, even when we're talking with other beings, right? Because we're learning about them. But do not, please do not mistake intuition for the divine. Sure, you can use your intuition to tap into the information from your spiritual team, to learn more about soul purpose, to all of the kinds of things that you would think of as spirituality, but that still your intuition is a practical sense that you have, and it's there to help you survive, right? So I tell this joke that there used to be two branches of the human race. One was intuitive and the other got eaten. Yeah, it's a funny joke, but it's true, too, in many ways, right? So consider yourself descended from the intuitive, the survivors. So here's a story about how intuition works. I wanted a new iPhone this spring, right? And I chose the iPhone mini, right? And why? Because, well, because my dog and I are always getting attacked on the street. And I say always, like once a year we get attacked. And we had just been attacked this spring again. Small dogs get it from big dogs all the time. It's actually been better since the pandemic, since people are largely keeping their dogs on leashes for a change. But anyway, I chose the iPhone mini for really a truly horrific reason, and that's because it's the smallest phone that you can hold in one hand and dial 911 at the same time. I know, it's horrible, but I am a survivor of a vicious dog attack in Seattle, and that's colored my entire life. And as a result of that, I lost my dog. So I am not sympathetic towards dog attacks. And there's a trauma thing. So I wanted this iPhone mini, right? So I'm doing my research and I'm getting all decided. And then I start thinking, I can't get my head around or away from my hot water tank. Right? And it's like my hot water tank is just rising to the surface of my consciousness. And for me, that means I need to pay attention to what is being pointed out to me. In other words, my intuition was focusing on my hot water tank. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Really, it's such a boring purchase, a hot water tank. I mean, really? I mean, what are you going to do with it besides heat water? I mean, it's not sexy, let's put it that way. And it's not a mini iPhone mini. But I could not get away from thinking about my hot water tank. So here are the facts of the situation. My hot water tank was installed in December 2006 after a massive blackout in Seattle. So expected lifespan for a hot water tank is 10 years and mine was 14 and a half. That's a fact. What does my intellect tell me? Well, many people have hot water tanks lasting 20 years or more. So, you know, I didn't really need to be too worried about it. Even my plumber said that. You really don't need to be worried about it, Robin. Is it acting fine? Yeah, it's acting fine. So I had no signs of failure, right? So, you know, I could let it go. What's my experience? Well, I bought my condo in 1998, had a hot water tank, and it failed the next day. Literally the next day, which was like unbelievable, but par for my course. So, and a second one in 2006. So now it's 2021 and I can't get my head off the hot water tank, right? Oh, Lord, mine had shown no issues. So what's emotions? Well, emotion is that it's very boring buying a hot water tank, especially when you wanted a red iPhone mini, right? But I also wanted my home to stay safe. And hot water tanks are really expensive. I mean, called around and they were like $1,600. I mean, like, oh my God, who wants to spend that kind of money? Not me, right? So what's my intuition tell me? Well, my intuition in this case, couldn't get off the hot water tank. Now I'm a very strong, clairknowing person. And over the years, I've trained myself to pay attention when something comes to the surface of my consciousness and doesn't let go. And that hot water tank was not letting go. So despite my reluctance to buy a new hot water tank, I had my plumber bring one. Okay, so these are the things that get in your way, your belief system. What I knew about hot water tanks, that my desire to have the iPhone mini, my sense of responsibility that it was time to replace it, my self-reliance. You know, I'm the only human in this household and have been for many years, right? And I have to take care of my property and myself and my animal family. My emotions, it was boring, right? And my intellect, I knew better, right? It was past time to get a hot water tank. My wishful thinking that it would last forever and my fear that it would not. Right? So my plumber actually had to cancel the first time he was coming because I had had an injury this spring and I didn't think I was physically up to cleaning up after him. So he came a month later with a new hot water tank. And when he showed up, I said, you know, can you tell if I really need a hot water tank? And he said, no, you know, you don't really tell unless they fail or, you know, unless you replace it, you know, in a certain time period, you know, because the average lifespan of a hot water tank is 10 years. So, you know, oh my gosh. So we were taking the old tank out down the stairs and we were out on the lawn and I put my hand on it. And I hope you do this with everything that leaves your house, especially one that served so long and faithfully as this hot water tank. And I put my hand on it and I said, thank you for your service. I appreciate that you were here for all these years. You provided hot water for me, you know, for showers, for baths, for the kids, just washing clothes. You just made my life easier. And thank you. I appreciate it. And I hope your next life is much more interesting than it probably was sitting in the closet in this lifetime in a hot water tank. And then my plumber gets ready to put the old tank in his truck and he says, Robin, look here. And so we were looking at the back of the hot water tank, which you cannot see when you open up the cupboard, the door to the closet that it's in. He says, look, he says, rust on these bolts in your tank was starting to leak. He goes, you were right. You needed a hot water tank. Yay, right? Right? So my intuition was not letting me let go of the fact that I needed to get a new hot water tank, even though I really wanted that iPhone mini, right? So the new hot water tank is gorgeous. It's this beautiful deep gray. Now, gray isn't my favorite color. I say that as my desk is a silver gray. My cat is a silver gray. I have stainless steel counters. But this new hot water tank is gorgeous. So I thanked it for joining the family. And every day, you know, I open up the cupboard in the closet door and I put my hand on it and say, thank you for coming to our home. Thank you for your service. I really appreciate you here. I mean, who knew hot water tanks were beautiful, right? So what are you going to learn from this, right? To make sure, right, that you're paying attention to everything. What you know about the facts, what your feelings are, what your intellect and common sense tell you, what your experience is, what your emotions are. I still want that iPhone mini, but right, you know, hot water tank is enough expense for one summer. And then what does your intuition tell you about that, right? And so how did I get started on the hot water tank to begin with? It rose to my attention. It rose to the surface of my consciousness as things that clairknowing will do. When it's not immediately in front of you like an impending car accident or parking where you shouldn't, it's there. It's rising up and giving you information. So another quick story that we'll end the day with. And you're going to laugh at this one. Okay. So I live in Seattle. You know, I love the climate here. But we have these weird days where we don't like our climate. And this summer, we had 5 of those in a row. An extraordinary heat streak in June had started on a Friday in the 90s. And Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, it was over 100 degrees for 3 days in a row, right? And then Tuesday was the day, actually, my plumber came with a new hot water tank. And it was still in the 90s that day, right? So, oh my gosh. So it was super, super hot. So I have a portable air conditioner. Now, if you know anything about Seattle, we're like the biggest city in the country, the United States, that with the lowest percentage of air conditioning. Well, in the last 5 years, the 5, 6, 7 years, new buildings have added air conditioning, but mine is not new. And I live in a condo, so you can't have a window unit here. So I bought a portable air conditioner. And then I replaced that with a smaller version, and my old air conditioner went to a friend. So on the weekend when it was 100 and some degrees, I started worrying that my air conditioner would die. And I'm like, oh my God, right? I do lots of things to keep the heat out of here, but it's really hot. And I was worried that this air conditioner would die, and it's been hot everywhere, and maybe would I need a new air conditioner? And I could not get it out of my head that I needed a new air conditioner. So 10 o'clock at Saturday night, my nephew called to check in, and he goes, what are you doing? And I said, I'm buying a new air conditioner. He goes, they're available? And I said, yep, and I'm getting one. So I had it ordered on Saturday night. Still worried that my air conditioner would die. So the heat wave is over. My air conditioner is still working, and my new air conditioner is on its way. So what happened there? My intuition was telling me my air conditioner might die, but I was also afraid that it would, right? And my common sense was telling me if it died, it would be a week or 2 weeks or maybe longer if they were out of stock for me to get a new one. And I can't sleep at night in the summer without one because there's no air in the back area of where my bedroom is. And I need to sleep. I need to work. I need to live comfortably. So I needed the air conditioner. So you can go through the whole facts and beliefs and everything else about that and decide what works and what doesn't work. But my air conditioner is still working, and now I have two. And the new one that came is a little bit smaller than the old one. It's set up in the living room, so when I want to work in there or live in there, and it's super hot, right, it's stuffy, I can have that going, and it'll cool it off a little bit. So, of course, as soon as the new air conditioner comes, the heat wave dies, and we're having a beautiful summer, 70s, just perfect. It still gets a little hot. But here's the rest of that story, my friends. Remember I told you about the old air conditioner that I gave to a friend, and I was really worried that my air conditioner was going to die on the weekend? That one did that weekend. When I talked to my friend, she goes, I ordered a new air conditioner. And the old one hadn't exactly died, but it had really started making noise, and she was worried about it. So that same weekend that I was worried about my air conditioner dying, the old one that I had given away to a friend did spend its last days. So was it tapping into the old air conditioner? Was it coincidence? I don't know. But it's a fun story to share with you to help you understand that we all need to learn to trust ourselves, right? You need to learn to trust the information that you get, and learn to trust the information that comes to you intuitively. And especially if you're a woman listening to this, because, ironically, while I have more female clients than male clients, I do have male clients, and a lot of them are very matter of fact, even though their political views and so on are so different from mine, and maybe they wouldn't always admit it in public, but when they want something, they do it and they trust it. So trust yourself. But when you're trying to figure out, is it your intuition working? How does it work? Run through that list. Run through that list of what you know about the facts of the situation, what your intellect tells you, your common sense, what your experience is with that particular thing, with the air conditioner, with the hot water tank, right? With any sort of situation, what your emotions are about it, and then what your intuition tells you. Because we'll get mixed up with our feelings, with our emotions, with the facts, with the fear of situation. And, you know, if you have a real live example looking at all of us right now, it's COVID, right? The virus. What does your intuition tell you about it? What are the facts, right? Listen to the facts. Don't listen to other people's weird ideas or things that are scaring you. Look at the facts of the situation in front of you. Invite your intuition to inform you and keep a record of it so that you can go back. When you say, I've got this feeling that I need a new hot water tank, it rises to the surface. I know I need to act on that. And when I don't, I get my bumper bent or, you know, I could have lost my hot water tank because it was starting to leak and I had no proof of that because I couldn't see behind it. So, my friends, learn to trust your intuition. It matters. It can save your life, but it can also make your life easier. So with that, we'll end for the day. Again, my name is Robin Fritz. I'm intuitive and spiritual consultant and a certified past life regression specialist, which means I'm licensed in the state of Washington as a soul regression hypnotherapist, which is fascinating for people to find out how their past lives are. So call me up, email me, personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, clearing space, soul retrieval, soul journeys, past life regression, and my book, The Afterlife is a Party, What People and Animals Teach Us About Love, Reincarnation, and the Other Side at Amazon. Thank you for joining me, and I'll see you in August. Take care.